Big Boss Filmworks presents Motown Mafia Podcast. This episode is Eddie Baby and Black Butch. Eddie Jackson Jr. Check him out on Instagram. I am Eddie Baby and Black Butch, the Black Dispatch. You can check him out on our channel, Big Boss Filmworks on YouTube. We also have our special guest, Scott Bernstein, and of course, our host, Courtney Brown Jr. And my name is Louis Stevens, producer and content creator for Big Boss Filmworks, authorized dealer media, and graphic designer extraordinaire for Flyers Plus Graphics. We're about to get into the episode, so enjoy. Check us out. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Like our Facebook page. Follow us on Instagram, and of course, tune in to Motown Mafia Podcast. The struggle is relative.
Here and there, but you're saying that Jerry's got medical
conditions. Now, you know there's a transcript to every case, right?
No, I know. And I talked to both Terry and I talked to Terry and me.
If you pull that transcript and you read that case, you're going to make a determination of how
it works. No, people that... Terry's the one who got caught. Meech didn't get caught on any wires. Terry's the one on all the wires.
See? I beat Meech out. And he wanted to be the same nigga to stand up here and say, Meech got him in trouble.
No, I know. That's why they're not talking.
Is you crazy?
That's why they're not talking again. They were talking.
You crazy?
When I hooked up with them in 18.
A billboard got me life. And you on the phone talking all your business to the government. And they recorded all of this. And you going to sit here and tell the world, I got life. And you walk in this.
Terry Meech
were like many times. Oh, no.
Yeah, that's all with Meech. Hey,
No, but they're saying, but Meech is saying Meech and Terry had many defenses and were really good. Then Terry got out in May and started acting, you know, putting on Instagram pictures of the, you know, the Rolls Royce and hanging out with Fabulous.
50 Cent called him, put him on right away.
Meech thinks that was making it more difficult for him to come out. So Meech was like, you know, this motherfucker 15 years ago was saying that I'm bringing him heat. Well, now I'm trying to get out and he's bringing me heat. But Meech got his kid cast as the star of the show.
That's wonderful. He at least deserved that. He the motherfucking sacrificial lamb, bro. You don't see that?
He's in
the sacrificial lamb to get something.
I talked to him once.
Yeah, I know what it is, man. I already know what he's going through.
He's out in Portland right now.
Who's that?
He's in Portland.
Is that where they got him at?
Yeah, he's been there for the last year. When I first started talking to him in 18, he was in Arkansas. And they moved him to Portland in 19. Only one other Detroiter there.
Wow.
Which is?
I don't know his name. He's not like a name guy. All right. But he's
Detroit.
Dude, it's the gift and the curse, man. When I talk about it with him, I feel like some of the conversations I'm having with Demetrius are the same conversation I had with White Boy, in the sense that they don't understand own notoriety or how much the notoriety
hurts them
is a blessing and a trip up at the same time.
Would you agree? Blessing once you're a free man, curse while you still locked up.
Well, and Meech loves it. I mean, both Meech and Rick love themselves.
Coming from there, you have to.
Yeah. Well, Meech did it at a level nobody's ever done it before, bro.
I disagree with that. You must not know who Felix Walls is.
Dude, I talked to Felix.
But you're going to tell me Big Meech was bigger than Felix Wall. You're going to actually say that.
Yeah, let me get the back.
Well, I mean, nationwide.
Felix Wall promoted the Hearns Hagler fight.
No, I know.
One of the greatest fights ever fought. Felix Wall promoted.
Felix is the dude I was
And you're going to tell me, and get out of here, man.
I got to meet him. I was excited.
Well, I'm just going to tell you, in my opinion, Meech did it. He was there. But Felix did it longer.
Felix is in Milwaukee right now.
Thought he was out.
He's out, but he's living.
I talked to his daughter right before he got out because I think they were trying to do something. He was locked up with Rick Freeway.
Right. For a minute. And he wanted to call me and thank me because I've been writing a bunch of stuff. Both him and Daryl Chambers called me when they got out and thanked me for writing all the stuff about them that helped they in their mind help them get out.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Felix. So I met Felix through Doc Davis, through Reggie Davis.
Correct. Right.
And then
Reggie or Dwayne.
I know them both, but Doc who I know better.
Got it.
But Felix, I probably told you this back in the day when we were talking. Felix got in trouble because of my grandpa's best friend, Bernie Schrock, the Jewish gangster that does all the money laundering.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I can't wait to Felix start telling his stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait for that to come. Felix go way back like Fago, man.
He's crazy, man. I mean, Felix saw it all. Felix the cat.
And you're going to compare him.
Well, just different.
To be a man.
But Felix didn't have
no... Look at the time limit. Felix had been in jail 2 or 3 times.
No, I know, but did he have outlets around the country?
Come on, man.
Feels pretty.
Come on,
pretty.
Man.
Are you serious? Put it like this.
Do you, you know what's funny? You
met him through Doc, though. You met him through Doc, right?
Yeah.
So, they've been mans
really
for a really long time. So, how many people Doc know all around the country?
Wow.
And that's your man, right?
Once he tell the story, you're here. Doc
blends in, man. You never know Doc was a...
He was low-key.
Thank you. A shot caller like he was.
Yeah, he was low-key. That's, you know, he stayed under the lights. Ducking up under the lights.
Not really. I mean...
From what, after interviewing him, was the most interesting thing...
When did he hit the papers?
They didn't really have... What's interesting about them, at least from my interview process, was like, they didn't really have an organization. It was like the brothers, they had a couple guys in different parts of the world, right. And they had women couriers, but there was no, like, hierarchy or structure or
what
crew.
You call that?
But that served them well. That meant there was less people to be talking.
They just running gypsy loads.
Right, they were fucking running shit in Tanzania and...
Exactly.
Ghana.
You get run up out of there, you run a gypsy load out of there,
yeah.
You might luck up and get 2 runs out of there. Then something go wrong, you got to come out there and swing back to Nigeria somewhere, Lebanon. All those spots used to be hot. Richard Wakefield is another one on top of the list. Tip top.
Dude, I'm going to be, hopefully in the next 5-10 years, my only goal is to be able to take all these Detroit stories, bring them out to California, and get them developed.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I
want to
be like Ben Affleck or Matt Damon the way they are for Boston.
Felix will be the one I
would work with. I need you to do me a favor.
Yep.
Go get your uncle. Your Uncle Tommy Sharp.
Well, yeah.
Right down the street.
Tell me to send me
the address.
Yeah, just send it to
the address. Give it to you and you give it to Eddie. Have him
just text it to
the address. Yeah. Text it to you and you
You're basically going to Shane and
but he don't know the east side. But if you want me to tell you the simplest way to get where he's going, where you can't get lost.
Check out the Hustle and Grind Urban Literary Convention thrown by Michelle Moore and TC Littles. Courtney Brown Jr. will be there, P.S. White, Tanya Ayers, and Lisa Brown, and many more Detroit authors. This goes on June 12th, noon till 6 p.m. at the Elite Banquet Hall, 14100 Puritan Avenue, Detroit, Michigan, 48227. Telephone number 248-450-4061. And check out Hustle and Grind. ulc.com for more information.
Go up to Jefferson.
What time you gotta be out here, Scott?
Take a left to Jefferson. You know Wendy's across from Belle Isle. That's the street he live on. Take Wendy's straight down.
You got
at the Wendy's off Jefferson. Straight down. He might be 3-4 blocks down, but that's You can't give
me. I can come back next week and do it again if you're on call.
All right. Yeah, can you text me your address or tell me your address? So how accurate do you, I mean, you know the real case. How accurate is this BMF story? Are they attempting to take a ton of creative liberties?
I already knew that, Juice, because I know the story. I know they would have to take creative liberties.
They're changing a lot of names. They're like Fishman's a character.
Here you go.
And they haven't even talked to Fish. They changed his name to Fletch.
Fish is a character called Fletch.
Yep.
Wow. Fletcher. They didn't even talk to Fishman.
Well, Fishman was Terry's attorney, but not until later on.
He didn't represent him at trial. He didn't represent him during the initial negotiations with the feds.
He did.
Who did
Meech have?
That was 05. Meech had Jim Thomas.
Is he big?
Who is that?
He had the Kia Kwame's case for a while. He ain't Fish. Jim Thomas ain't bad, but he's not.
Who you'd have thought about? Like you would have thought Meech would have been trying to get somebody, Alan Dershowitz or something like that.
Yeah, went out and got over the top.
Meech could have beat that case in theory.
She's heard.
See, words. I keep telling you that, Juice.
If you read the case,
I told you that, Juice.
But the issue was if he went to the trial and lost, then it's life.
He wouldn't do it no more. He got life anyway. What's life?
Well, he looked at it as 30. He looked at it as he'll be out by 60.
If you fight the case, man, 9 out of 10, the government going to make a mistake and you're going to be fine. I'd rather have my $50 million.
I was at the court. I was at the court when he pleaded his deal. I was in the gallery waiting for the trial to start.
Because
they cut the deal the morning of trial.
That was amazing.
Well, the morning they were supposed to start picking the jury. Not the morning of opening arguments.
Wow. Well, you knew that wasn't going to be much of a trial because they was pleading guilty.
I mean, they didn't know that at the time.
When did they find that out?
Like, we all showed up for the start of jury selection at 9 o'clock. It was like November of 07. And we were waiting, and then like a half hour after it was supposed to start, they came in and told us that Terry and Meech had agreed to a deal. So they never actually started jury selection.
Yeah, I knew that because I had asked Terry with all that conversation off the wiretap, which they knew.
But Benny Blanco is the one who got him in trouble. That was their Detroit guy, Benjamin Johnson. Or they called him Benny Blanco. He was.
And what they gonna call him in the series?
They're gonna call him. They got a different name on
it. How did he get him in trouble?
First Doc Marshall flipped, then Benny Blanco flipped, then AR flipped, I think. He was the second in charge of Detroit. All the Detroit guys flipped. All the Atlanta guys and LA guys kept their mouth shut.
Oh, not Detroit living up to
it. That's Detroit for you.
Yeah.
That's what they do. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. That's why they be so mad when I tell them ain't number rats here.
And Meech wasn't on one wire.
See what I'm saying?
Meech on one wire. They had Terry all over the wire.
So, with all honesty, Terry got convicted because of wiretap conversation. Meech got convicted because of informants. From what you just said, all the rat ass niggas in Detroit informed.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is Meech could have right next. Like Meech wasn't dealing directly with any of those Detroit cats. Those Detroit cats were all dealing with Terry, but they were all fucked up. Meech got fucked by Doc Marshall,
which was
the guy that owned the luxury car dealership that was doing all the financial shit for BMF.
Was he a Detroit guy too?
No, he was a Memphis guy.
So Memphis hurt him too.
So Doc was the first one to flip, and then the two Detroit guys flipped.
So when he flipped, what was he saying? What did he flip and say?
Doc would tell them all about the money, where the money was all going, because he was the one handling all the money.
But was he actually handling drugs?
No, I don't think Doc was handling the drugs. Doc was handling money.
So according to Cavario's conversation,
that's hearsay.
He said he was doing 2,500 bricks a month.
I have the case. I mean, I have to look the numbers.
See, you got the actual case. What I've been telling niggas, if you get the docket, man, you'll see everything about the case. And I already knew The Billboard. How long did the Billboard come in at when he was?
Billboard started to come in 03 is when his case. If you talk to the DA,
okay, let's go here. Let's say this. When did he hit the feds high first?
I'm going to tell you. So he put up the first Billboard, I think, in May of 03.
May of 03.
And then in June of 03, he had his birthday party that was thrown by Nelly. Nelly and Jermaine Dupri threw him a birthday card in the summer of 03.
That's Atlanta?
In Atlanta at Justin's.
That's Atlanta.
Which is owned by Puffy.
Which was owned by Puffy. And then they went back to one of the houses and partied. It was that, from my contact in the DA, it was literally that party that opened the investigation. The party was on a Friday, Saturday, and they opened Operation Motor City Mafia on a Monday.
Why? Because of what at the party? What led, who at the party? If Nelly threw the party, we know Nelly don't sell drugs because they haven't said that. Nelly gave the party. But someone at the party.
You know, I was living in Atlanta then. The fact that Meech and them was down there doing what they're doing was the worst kept secret
but
in Atlanta.
Still, you hear exactly how.
There's no way that the DA, the local agents in Atlanta would have been oblivious to this crew from Detroit.
Gives the party. You would if Meech per se himself had given it.
It was his 35th. It was his.
Nelly giving it. You could think he's Nelly's cousin, fam. Why would Nelly give him a party?
Why are you gonna play the?
Why would Nelly give him a party?
Because he's the biggest dope man in the country.
Nah, not everybody just gonna see that.
And his brother Nelly's from St. Louis, so I'm sure he was friends with
Jabo. Jabo was their second in charge, who was St. Louis guy. Who I heard came in here, and they had him. I heard Jabo and Southwest had a meeting here in June.
Hey, Rome, let me get you.
They brought J-Bo
in. You all right?
2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, how you feel, bro?
I'm good. I'm doing some taping, though. Let me call you back.
I think it was just to see each other and say what's up after 15 years or whatever.
Both of them went to jail?
Yeah, J-Bo got out in 18. So J-Bo did 13.
And how long did Southwest?
Terry did
15.
15
years.
You see, two BMF have been killed in the last year or two over shit that had nothing to do with BMF.
Wow.
The one kid in a kid from Southfield, Slick Rick McFarlane, got killed with that NFL player.
What was
they
doing?
On the west side a couple years ago.
What was they doing? They was
They were doing a drug deal.
Now, this wasn't recent because this was when that first wave of BMF guys
Rick got out. Slick Rick got out in October of 16.
They all started.
And they killed him in December of 16, but they had nothing to do. He was doing a drug deal with someone, with these guys from Texas.
Drug deal gone wrong.
And then Pig got killed last summer, who was one of their main guys.
Yeah, he did some work with Al, you guys did.
No, I meant that Pig.
What did he get killed for?
Pig got killed. There's been...
Maybe they just were speaking up. Bull, I'm thinking about.
Bull, he did Bull. Bull was Meech's body. Pig was one of their childhood friends who went down with them in their case, then took another case in Ohio after he got out of Motor City Mafia case.
Nice.
Did 3 years in Ohio, came out, he's been out for a couple years, and got him on the west side this summer. I heard it was over a girl. I had nothing to do with it.
Over a girl.
But he was like Meech and Terry's childhood best friend.
Wow. Yeah, that was it was not a good secret in Atlanta. They had fun. I'll give them that.
Did you know a player around here back in the day, Chuck Davis?
Davis seemed like you love that Doc Davis. So many Davis.
The only reason I say that is because one of the BMF, one of their baby mamas, one of the main guys' baby mamas, is girl Brandy. She's on some of the
internet stuff I've seen.
Not just internet, but on VH1,
one of those Real Housewives. Yeah, Housewives.
I mean, she's really attractive. Okay.
Who is she?
But she says her dad was a player around here named Chuck Davis, and I've never heard
of him. Name sound kind of familiar.
From South America.
Butch, we have to ask Butch. Butch or not? He's because
Black Dispatch is
Butch or not? Yeah, Butch or not.
But she was
from Southfield.
St. Louis guy. She was from Southfield, and then moved out to Atlanta, and then was going out with J-Bo's right-hand man, a guy named Magic, who ran St. Louis with J-Bo.
So was the St. Louis operation as big as the Atlanta operation? Were they like really splitting up the bag?
I mean, it was Detroit, Atlanta, LA, St. Louis. Those were the main, the hubs went from Detroit to St. Louis to Atlanta to LA. I mean, those were the four.
So the bag was getting much tricky.
Yeah, I was getting money.
But, I mean, it's gonna, when the show drops, it's gonna be a big deal. I hope that, I hope it doesn't turn into like a circus, like where it's like you're making them caricatures as opposed to
the real
authentic.
No, it's not going to be authentic.
I mean, frankly, I worry about the hiring his kid.
But once you get
you
the
mean
money,
having me just get involved like that.
Once you get the money,
he's the star.
That's what it is.
That's little Meech is playing Meech.
Yes.
Oh, so it's like.
That's beautiful. He deserves that.
And I've seen the kid on TV.
No, that's all. That's Meech. That's Meech putting pressure on them, being like, "You're gonna fucking cast my kid."
That's right.
Because he should have. That's pretty much what happened.
Wow. He should have.
He's leaning on them to be like, "Cast my kid. You haven't done right by me."
I like that.
Because he actually,
he's right.
50's from what I can understand, 50 Cent hasn't treated himself very well.
Not as well as treated Terry.
Not as well as treated Terry.
At that particular time.
And what time when you was
that was
about?
It was in the 70s.
Now you want to hear his
So that's
version.
About 700,000 today.
Let me tell you what he said.
Man, this was one motherfucking
rock. I ran a Rolls Royce on my finger. That's all the use I got a Rolls Royce on my finger.
Back then we paid 30,000 for the Rolls.
I told you what he said. The ring was worth the two Rolls Royces.
Yeah.
I just told you.
His ring, so let me put that saying again. His ring, you could have bought two Rolls Royces for
but the price we paid for that one ring.
That's right. That's why.
See, man, from 69 up until the time Eddie went to jail in 76.
Now,
I roll with him every day.
Tell him.
I pick him up in the morning and drop him off at night.
Tell me this. What? Tell him what you estimate the property you had that you let go would be worth today.
What I had?
Right? In the area that it was in. Man. What you see today would be at least worth $3 million.
I would have got at least $2 or $3 million for it right now.
Because you was in the same area with Dodo.
I was right in the same area. The two buildings that I had. I could, but today, man.
If you go there now. Nigga, it cost you $2,500 rent to stay there.
That's right.
Well, that after hour joint where your Uncle Willie was
right
at
there. Right there with Times Square Ball. Right down the corner. John Allen Erskine.
That building for sale right now for $4 million.
But check this out. On Mac, you know, stand right across the street from the hospital, they charge him $399 for one loan. You understand?
$399,000.
That's right. Hold it, but I'm going to tell you something going to fuck you up right now. Over there on Townsend.
The poorest places.
On Townsend.
I had a spot on Townsend.
And listen to me, on Townsend.
Field in Townsend.
Between Kirchhoff and Lafayette, it's a Catholic church over there. The old school's behind the church. They just renovated the school and they bought the lot behind it and built condos. And I just called just to ask what they charge for the lots over there. They got 2 and 3 bedroom, you understand, lofts over there, right? You know what this motherfucker told me, man? He say the 2 bedroom lofts, the small one, they want, you understand, they want $400,000 for them. And they say the 3 bedrooms, you understand, they gonna cost $600,000.
So now, in your next episode, I'm giving you one right now.
What?
Break down the type of money y'all would be legally rich now. If he had kept Hancock.
Well,
got all that money off Hancock. If you had kept your buildings, got all that money off your buildings, legally, you all would be worth today now. Because Hancock, he'd have probably got $2 million for that.
No, he'd have got more than that.
Yeah.
See?
I mean, if you just go through
legally where we was hustling and doing, this is what the property is worth now.
And then
John Iron Erskine, $4 million. Uncle Willie lived on that corner, man.
All the property, you understand,
There was down all there, the black, spots. All the black
all
people.
All the black bottom.
A Freedom Steam right there on Erskine and Brush right today. He used to, it used to be his after hour joint.
You need to break it down.
Let me tell you something. They got a restaurant right there, a kosher hot dog place right there on Brush. Mm-hmm. I'm right across the street from where we made the first
video. Which I ride around and see white folks walking. I can't believe that's white folks out there walking.
I know you got the Great Ghost. That's one of the fanciest restaurants.
About off Woodward, where it was
you talking about Erskine
Alley? Blood. Have you seen the alley?
Which one?
The alley off Woodward. They got a business, the alley. You go walk up in the alley.
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
Man, don't you remember that nigga Denise and that shooting dope getting high? Freddie used to hang up in there. What are you talking about? Drinking wine back there, man.
Let me tell you something.
Nigga, you walk in that alley.
Let me tell you something. It wasn't no black person, no white person. Man, come down
there. Hell no. That's what I be trying to tell him when he ride around. I man, I be fucked up. I said, man, you see what I'm saying?
Well, he can't imagine because he knows that area that's Midtown. He don't know.
But what he see in Midtown, you understand? Hey, let me tell you something. That still ain't down where we was
going. Let me ask you this. Let me tell him this. He was talking about this. Now, they got the lean. You know what lean is.
Yeah, cost it costs right.
How it was when y'all was buying the red? It wasn't no better or worse. Nah, it wasn't.
That was Avenue. I was hung up on that. That's what they call a lean. Now, back then, it was Avenue. And did this him. This young guy, you understand? I don't know if you know the guy. When I came home out of jail, I had to call out on Grand River where my partner was Rick.
See, you understand? You need to tell that.
Did this him. Let me show you something. Show you what that lean did to this motherfucker, him. This boy getting big money.
You pay attention. This is to your future on lean.
Yeah.
This is what these niggas need to see. That'll get him hits. If he break it down, nigga, I was strong. I don't need back then. Nah, was it as strong back then as it is now?
Yeah.
That's the same thing.
See, Eddie, change your name.
Cut the color too, Butch.
Very purple.
Change the color. I tried to tell you.
Yeah.
We used to buy it from a house right there on Brush. They used to always sell it. We used to buy it to go to the Fox Theater.
I used to go over there on a Hamilton
and
Chuck
used to always keep it.
Yeah.
You go in there and buy a bottle and it was red.
Oh, ain't nothing new, young man.
It was always red.
Ain't nothing new on this.
And that shit
I didn't
was
say
strong.
It was new. I'm just saying
that
like,
shit
that's
was
the
strong
new trend.
It keep you
it's
sleep.
A trend now.
I couldn't fuck with it.
It's just a downer. It's just like boy.
It's
just like that. Because
it's got codeine in it.
Let me show you something. This boy, you understand?
Don't make it seem like I said lean now.
I'm just telling you how far I go back.
Oh, wait a minute. Why we doing it here? Like, you done heard my man Eddie talk about him. You done probably heard people in the street. One second, bro. Just let them know that this is Jelani's of Jelani's Tasting Table.
What's going on?
If you want to get some of that good, that 420 cooking, this the man who's behind the scene.
Money, man.
Go ahead. What was you saying? I'm sorry about that. What was that?
That lean, you understand? That is just as dangerous as that. It's just as dangerous, you understand, as opiates. That's all it is. It's a down high. It ain't number boy. You understand? But what I'm saying is, people don't realize I was hung up on cough syrup back in the 70s, but they called it Amonil.
Wow.
Now, you understand, they called it lean. And like I said, a lot
was
of people don't.
Strength as strong.
It was just as strong.
Just a different color. All
just a different color.
The color.
That's right.
That is, but the
that's
same
just,
strength.
That's just like then. That's what. Eddie used to pump my ass up with those goddamn dibs when I was making
there
trips. Growing, you understand, you know, California.
The dibs was
the
big thing, and that was a big thing.
That was a diet pill. That's what
right?
It was a diet pill.
There you go.
But it had you just there speeding just like cocaine. And I would be up for weeks, man, at a time.
Wow.
And they changed that C-code.
Was that addictive?
Well, you know what? You, a lot of people would believe me. I just, you know. When I didn't have it, I didn't have it.
So it really wasn't addictive.
No, not
it was something that you were going
to
have.
But a lot of them housewives say that term.
If you didn't have it,
And that's just like with the lean.
Wasn't your dibs going for like $20 a pill even back then? No.
When they was going out the market, they was charging me $80 a pill.
Wow.
That's
back in the day.
That was back in the 70s, man. In the 70s, man.
Government always does.
That's right.
Always.
80 a pill.
That's right. When it was going out the box.
Thank you.
$80 a pill. Look here, man. And I liked them so much, you understand? I had a award on them up. And Eddie, He been putting money out of the street. If anybody see a black Butch in the dev, he say, I'm going to run their ass out of town.
The fat man just put a body. He done put a body on the dev man. Dev man going to end up dead.
And that's just like, and just like, you know, just like the money and shit that we was getting back in that time, like I was trying to, I had broke it down before. Just like, you understand, the biggest Cadillac, he was paying $12,000. For each car, $12,000.
$12,000 back then, which was $125,000.
For the tailsman, that was the biggest Fleetwood. Yeah, $12,000. I mean, loaded. You understand? The Mercedes Benz, 450 SEL, $18,000. The Rolls Royce, $30,000. Now, when I'm saying them same cars, they $200,000 and $300,000.
Because inflation then went up.
That's right.
Because everything is 10 times.
That's right.
So that's what I be trying to explain to people.
The money that we was getting.
And again, you know, Scott was just here. I'm not knocking BMF or any of them because them guys all did big, big things.
Man, you got
but the money count, real.
Brothers that come afterward because right. This is the truth about it.
Go ahead.
These are the one that paved the way for them to come. So give BMX all the
credit. Oh, I do.
And they deserve it. Big Meech, anytime I ever fucked with anybody who fucked with him was A1.
No, we ain't knocking that. I'm just talking on the money count deal. But that if you guys had 30 million in the 70s, real Wall Street white folk math say 30 million in the 70s, 300 million. That's all I'm saying. So when you talk to me about 50 million or 60 million, the reality is, I mean, I'm going to just say it. Y'all money dwarf what all of them did.
Hold
that's
on,
just
hold
the truth.
Like, hold on. Let me explain some to you.
That's
like,
300, but you got to understand for the audience to know, that is the exact same white folk Wall Street math. That's the same as 300 million
today. But listen
today.
To what I'm telling you, man. I always say, it's a whole lot of guys probably done had just as much more money than what Eddie done had since that time.
Stayed
but I'm
going to
tell you something. Ain't no guy or anybody that crew that I know, that even know about, they wasn't getting as much money as we was getting. I'm talking about on profit-wise. What we was doing, man?
Was you putting the 80 on it?
Man,
listen to me,
man.
Is that not a rumor? That's the truth.
Listen to me, man. I was the one doing it. We was paying $60,000. I was going up in New York with the Gambino family, paying $60,000 a key. And see, back during that time, they wasn't weighing it on a scale. They was giving it to us in quarters. Unless they probably was weighing it. But that's the way we was dealing with it, with quarters. We was getting 220 quarters in every key. And I would bag them up in 25. So that would be 9 bags of 25. I would take one bag and put a 9 on it. That'll make 10. So what I'm saying, man, you understand, we was taking, you understand, 10 keys and making it into 100.
But so,
now,
so that's
give
the key.
Dollar amount. Break right. It down, dollar amount.
All right, now listen to me.
$60,000 for the package.
Right, listen.
Break it down.
Did this here.
Go ahead. How much a key?
$60,000 a key.
And say y'all had 10 keys.
We take one key and make it 9 keys. 10 keys.
So now you got 10 keys.
All right, now did this here.
Okay.
Now, when we take that and pack it up, we would take it and put them in quarters, boom, 200 quarters. In a bag, that would be a key. We was charging the guys that we were serving, we was charging them $30,000 a key. So we got 10 keys, 10 times, we was getting $300,000 on one key. Selling, hold on, listen, selling it, you understand?
Say that again one more time. When it was all said and done, y'all was netting $300,000 off a key.
After we put a 9 on it.
Or 9 on it.
Right, that make it 10 keys. Listen now, we only paid $60,000 for that key, right?
Right.
How much is that? That's $240,000.
Right.
Profit.
Profit.
Oh, I don't know, but that ain't the best part of it.
Okay.
We would take a quarter of that shit. That
after you hit it with a 9.
No, off the top. Before we put the 9 on it, we would take one quarter off the top. Mm-hmm. We would put 80 quarters of mix on there. That's
80 quarters of mix.
I mean, quinine, dormants, and lactose.
On one quarter.
On one quarter. I did this in. Then after we do that, we would get $45 a quarter. Now multiply that.
You took one quarter. and put an 80 on it.
That's right, made 81 quarters.
Okay. And then how much does the quarters go for?
It was $45.
And a quarter weighs what today? What is that?
Wait a minute. 7 grams.
So it's 7 grams. That's right. Given to us today so they understand today's term.
This what a quarter is, right?
7 grams.
Like a gram would be fourth spoon. You know what I mean?
What would you charge for a gram in that day? Or y'all didn't even sell?
We didn't sell no grams. We didn't sell. We were selling ounces and quarters and eighths and stuff like that.
Where would you go to get a gram from?
Butch, that y'all was 10 times in your money.
I know it. We was doing more than that. This is the reason why
I just 10 times the money.
Listen to me, man. Listen to me, man.
Every 60 at minimum. At minimum.
That's right.
If y'all just wholesale, every 60 turns into 600,000.
And I remember this.
But really, that key was really turning into, like you said, about $250,000.
That's right.
Y'all was actually turning $60,000 into $250,000.
And we had
But remember now, the dope is coming from 95, 96.
It's the French Connection, though.
And then another thing that helps you get money, it was being consistent. Every time I go cop, it would be the same thing the time before.
No gypsy.
Nothing was never changed. When I go get it, I didn't have to get a check or nothing.
That was the golden era of the mob.
That's right. That was the mob. And then, like I say, man,
actually the golden era.
We had a spot. Yeah. We had one spot. We was picking up about 100 to 150,000 every day in packs. In packs.
Well, you said, and Japs talked about it a little bit, and Dolph talked about it, and you was there with 5-0.
Yeah. See, that 5-0, that's who I started off with.
When Eddie's father, when your father got out the wholesale business, 5-0 and Dolph, and which he really, your father was a genius. All he did was basically set up franchises.
Yeah.
Because they were still getting the product from him.
Now, when he started doing that, I was still with him. He kept me with him. Then I was the one in the stand that was serving them.
You had moved up the ladder from 5-0 because of
But see, I was with Eddie then before. I had got with Eddie after the stand.
After Hancock or before Hancock?
Yeah, that was before Hancock.
You had already started?
Yeah, I was there. I was with 5-0 then.
You was at 5-0 during the Hancock time?
Right, and then the little disagreement.
When Lodge died, you worked for 5-0.
That's right.
How long after that did you get with Daddy?
Shit. Less than a year, because the first car I had was a large car.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's why I figured. Yeah. That's why I asked him that question.
That was the first car Cadillac right that I had was Eddie's brother's car. Lodge.
Wow.
Yeah, Eddie took a liking to me, man, because, like I said, I was the youngest one out the whole crew, and Eddie loved my mother, man. He loved Miss Elfa, and Miss Elfa loved him. I'm talking about, you understand? She was the only person who could talk some sense to this motherfucker, man. So Eddie was a crazy motherfucker. You understand? Like I say, if me and him had never started fucking with that cocaine, no telling what would have happened.
Let me ask you one question. Tell me what you say y'all did most to fuck the laws up. Because y'all had it good before the laws changed.
The mandatory minimums.
They could basically buy the case. I mean, seriously. Motherfuckers that got caught, Cornelius Pitts told me out of his mouth. He didn't beat a case for a motherfucker got caught down at the Baltic Hotel or something. Mm-hmm. They got caught with two keys and Cornelius Pitts.
Let me tell you something. Cornelius Pitts, I tipped my
hand. Shout out to Cornelius Pitts.
Yeah, and his son, Brian. Pitch.
Shout out to B.
He's in his father's footsteps. He really is.
Shout out to Byron.
And let me tell you something. Pitch, your stand was one guy I always give respect. 5-0 was one of his main customers.
You lied.
No.
Taking a shot at the cop.
I mean, let me tell you something. 5-0 brought more cases to him than anybody I know. And he took care of two. When 5-0, you understand, fell off the horse, you understand, when no one getting no money, he was strung out of shit. Pitch would go down in the joint, the dope joint, and bring 5-0 money, man. I remember that. Yeah, he did that.
So Pitch was 5-0's, man.
That's right.
See, you just told about 5-0. You 5-0 was something.
See, let me tell you something. 5-0.
Tell
you. Let me tell you something. A lot of people didn't think, when they found out what I was doing, after they found out what I was doing in the street hustling stuff, they didn't believe that. Not Tommy Shaw. I was that square motherfucker in the neighborhood, you understand? Could have been me, you understand? Because I left, you understand, the gas station in Chevrolet Gear and Axle, you understand, and jumped to Cadillacs.
Wow. From the gas station, and from pumping gas to riding Cadillacs.
That's right, man. I'm talking about, I was 17, 18 years old.
And so people should think about that, too.
And I was always said, Black Dispatch, you were the first original young boy.
That's right.
You always said that you was the very first original young boy, and you got a hell of a long run.
Yes, I did. And then, like I say,
y'all was young, man. Y'all were young millionaires.
See, people don't put that case.
But I mean, you imagine, you were 17, 18, 19 years old,
right?
And all of a sudden, you go from working at the gas station,
driving feet with
Rolls Royces. Now you're in Rolls Royces. You know. It's even beyond what the rappers go through once they hit it big.
That's right.
It's beyond what you go through when you get drafted in the league.
But see,
how did it feel?
Let me tell you something. It felt good in the motherfucker. I mean, young.
Did you feel invincible?
Did you feel on top? Let me tell you something. I put it like this here. I was out of my mind so much, you understand? I really didn't pay attention to good Lord, you understand? Had his arms around me. I'm going to be true with you. Some of the shit I was doing. But I'm going to tell you this here. One thing I did learn, I learned a lot from Eddie. What a lot of people don't realize, you're supposed to make the money. You ain't supposed to let the money make you. And that's where a lot of guys, you understand, separate, you understand, from getting money. I'm talking about, man, when guys go to make money, you supposed to handle that, but the money make them.
Let me say this, and I say this, and you can answer it better than anybody. Most guys you work for don't want you to make no money.
No, they count your money. They count
they
your money.
They show how much you make.
That's right.
The fat man wasn't like
Eddie that. Eddie wasn't like that. And Ed would go off with a motherfucker. If a person in your stand come up and say, man, do a Black Butch work for you? Don't no nigga work for me. We hustle together. That's what you said. He
that's
always is. That's the way he was. And let me tell you something. They talk about Eddie and Stan. Eddie didn't have to pay a motherfucker to take no hit or nothing for him. If anybody that know him and they hear
some slick shit going on,
a motherfucker trying to understand do something to him, they took care of their goddamn self. Whether or not they didn't ask for nothing, whether he gave it to him or not. That's the way it was with him, man. That's the type of guy he was, man. That's the reason why the feds couldn't go nowhere in this country
and get no
case on him for income tax. Because everywhere we went and spent money, really looked like giving motherfucking salesmen $5,000, $10,000, put it in your pocket. Just, you understand, hey.
Take this.
Take care of this, you know. Them feds fell up. They followed us all over the United States, man. We was all down to South America, Africa, Amsterdam. I mean, all over the world, trying to get cases where we was going in different stores, spending money, man. Ain't when no motherfucker gonna tell on your ass and you getting them more money than make a year, probably.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
That's the tradition of the fact.
And what I'm saying,
it's good to hear somebody else tell it.
Let me tell you something. Eddie was one of the baddest motherfuckers in this country.
That's no doubt.
And you know what? He got a lot of respect. And another thing, too, I was with him from sun up to sundown. He didn't make no move without me. It was always me and him. Now, Courtney, he was just as close to him as I was. I can't leave Courtney, because Courtney was right there with him.
That's right.
But did this him. I was his main man. I was the one, you understand, that rode with him from state to state, country to country.
Ain't no question.
He didn't make no move unless he asked me.
And y'all was always gone. Daddy was at home.
I know.
He would Eddie be gone anywhere.
Half the time.
I live next door to y'all, so you y'all be gone all the time.
Half the time, Courtney, you know it was. Unless we got us in trouble, the phone ring.
Birmingham.
That's right. Just like when let me tell you something. Like Eddie was talking about his daddy, you understand, was out on appeal for 8-9 years. Let me tell you something. He would have been on the street longer than that
if he
hadn't made that stupid ass move with me, him, and Huckabuck.
There you go.
Because that's what got him violated. So you think he might have been able to maneuver a little
bit? Yeah, he could have stayed. I can't say how many years, how much longer he did.
Let me finish this now. But as soon as he went in a year later, that Philly case he beat.
Yeah.
Remember, he beat that on appeal.
Right.
So now he would have been out on that one bond because that one case was beat.
Now he had beat the Philly case.
He beat that before he went to jail.
Milton.
And let me show you how stupid yesterday he went to jail for. Me and him and Huckabuck. I'm at home minding my motherfucking business. He gonna call me and say, Black Butch, man, let's go to Vegas. I said, go where? He was with Joe Weaver.
Oh, shit.
Him and Joe Weaver called me and said, Black Butch, let's go to Vegas. I said, what's up, man? He said, man, I'm coming to get you. Put your clothes on. Joe Weaver driving. When I seen that, and he had Joe Weaver. I said, Joe Weaver's going to drive us. Me, him, and Joe Weaver, right? He said, yeah. I said, Joe Weaver, you understand, man? They don't know how to drive.
And he got a license.
He ain't got no license. We was on Chrysler. We were ready to go to 94, right? West. Joe Weaver going east. I said, Eddie, Joe Weaver, you understand, man, is going the wrong goddamn way. He said, Joe Weaver. Eddie already was high. He was high before he picked me up. And he said, man, I said, man, how in the fuck Joe Weaver? I said, you ain't gonna make it to Easter with Joe Weaver driving. So he said, that's all right. Black Butch, get up under the wheel. I got under the wheel. I came up at Van Dyke. He said, we're taking Joe Weaver off. I dropped Joe Weaver off. He said, let's go get Huckabuck. So it was me, him, and Huckabuck. He said, man, let's go get, because I had this particular person that had the flakes, the pharmaceutical flakes.
Yeah.
So I went and got 2 ounces there. We on the way to Vegas. I'm driving. He don't want nobody to drive, really, but me. I drove all the way, you understand, to Texas. Texas border. I'm running out. Cocaine. He said, man, you ain't got no answer. No. So he went to accusing me and Huckabuck of stealing the cocaine.
Oh,
so this motherfucker here, he said, man, I said, well, we can get some more. We can get in Vegas. He said, no, man. Turn around, make a U. We going back to that. I said, man, you got to be out of your cocksucking mind. I said, I done drove all the way from Detroit already. You want to go back to Detroit? He said, that's all right, pull over. I pull over. And that motherfucker, man, got on the wheel and went to driving like a bat out of hell. No license, nothing. Then all of a sudden, you understand, he thought he saw Donna Jean in the car. This motherfucker,
that's
this motherfucker there. Went to jump it across the seat, the goddamn bit. See, be up, caught him in his legs. Man, they whooped his motherfucking ass. That nigga was he was soaking wet, man, yesterday.
That's been a long night going
wrong.
Yeah,
I'm talking about for real. We had $150,000 in the back seat.
Saved $1.5 million today.
So, after he got the argument with me and Huck said, man, I'm glad. I hate I came, but y'all two crazy motherfuckers. You understand?
This is the same trip that ends up leading to the violation.
We're going to jail, right? I'm telling you. So he'd have made a U-turn. We on the way back after he got falling out with me and Huck and shit. So he's driving like a motherfucker. 150 on the back seat. This motherfucker, we can't. Police state trooper pulled him over. We was in Union, Missouri. I'd never forget him. It's raining like a motherfucker. The police just there stopped us. Eddie had some driving license, wasn't his.
That's that. Black motherfucker.
And then they looked, they say, they got on the radio, said, we got some bank robbers. You know what I'm saying? They thought they had some bank robbers.
They saw that.
They had $150 in the back seat. And a residue all on the back seat where we've been blowing. You understand? No, they seen we was high the motherfucker. So they put Eddie in the car, and they had me and Huck sitting in the car. And we sit there for about an hour. And they said, y'all follow us to the police. I said, oh, Huck Bus, oh, Lord. We're lifting the lock. Oh, our motherfucking ass. Yeah. So they took and locked us up and shit the next
morning. You ought to be used to that.
Yeah, I'm used to that. I'm talking about for real. Courtney, you understand, sent Milton Henry down there. He came and got us the next day. And then we drove back together. And then he went to thinking about all this, what he did. He was wrong. He know he get ready to go to jail. I said, you goddamn right you is, man.
He went right there for that moment.
Yeah.
You know, and then
when we made it back to Detroit, I don't think it was no longer about a day or two.
Vikings.
That's right.
Snatched he could have at least had another 2 years because the rest of the crew didn't have to turn themselves in to
April of the next year. Going down. They really didn't want him to go down. No. But he was just
they got more money keeping him on. They got more money keeping him on the street.
He just was overdoing it. He was just overacting. They give him enough rope. Every time they give him rope,
and then the feds,
he go hang himself.
You know what, man? Let me tell you something.
And that's what it was. Just happened so much. Just do what the fuck you want.
They was on us
so long. With money.
The Fed was on us so long. They was on us so long. The way we did our thing, we learned a whole lot about ducking the goddamn feds. I'm talking about, boy, we used to have their ass all trapped in different places to try to follow us and shit. Oh man, they used to have sometimes 5 or 6 cars on one person.
You remember how y'all used to cut through that trail coming around Southfield and cut through there and go to the freeway?
Yeah, I remember.
Y'all
that.
Made them close that shit off. Y'all beat them so bad.
And we used to come in the house so much.
They'd do it in the dark. See, they would turn the lights off and swing through there and swing right to the freeway. The police keep going straight down and come around by the church to hit and come down the service drive to hit the freeway. They'd been cut through there and gone.
And we used to come parking in front of the house. Go out the back door, go over the fence into the church back part.
Wow.
So we had cars parked out there.
At the church.
Yeah,
that's right. And Eddie in them house for y'all see it on one of the videos.
Yeah.
Had a long gate. The house was gated.
Yeah.
Right. So you could never see what was going on behind the gate or
We used to buy so many cars. We had cars staked out all over the city.
You know, the newspapers wrote that Eddie had at one time 100 Cadillacs on the street.
Oh, yeah. We used to go to Seymour Cadillacs right there on Jefferson and get 10 or 15 Cadillacs at one time and pay cash. We was buying so many Cadillacs. All we had to do, just certain people like me, Courtney, or Eddie, we can go in there and pick up any car we want and don't get no money. Just tell me we're going to come back and take care of it later. That's the way we was getting it, like that.
Wow.
That's the way we was getting
it. Because it was a story, what was that, DeWitt? DeWitt called Eddie and told Eddie, hey, man, I'm in the crew. Why ain't I got a Cadillac?
Yeah,
everybody
yeah.
else got a Cadillac.
Yeah.
Eddie, all right, DeWitt.
Yeah.
Like you say, it just told DeWitt, go out there to the Cadillac dealer.
That's
tell
right.
him I said, give you a Cadillac.
That's right. And another person, too. I know you remember Little Willie, Reverend Prince, Willie Willie.
Yes,
yeah, he was with us too. This is before he started preaching.
You know what I'm saying?
And he was right.
You ain't never told.
Yeah, and he got one to say. He got some of the same messages that Diva said. Because I was serving Willie, and so Willie, you understand? I went to Eddie. I went to Willie to go pick up the money. Shit. I said, "Where the money at?" I think he owed about $40,000. He come handing me, you understand? Man, he go $20,000 and I heard Eddie say, hey, could nobody yesterday hustle with us if he didn't have a Cadillac? He took $10,000 and bought a Cadillac. Yeah, that's the way it was. I mean, that's the way money was coming, man. That's the way money was coming.
He said, I got to justify my position in the crew, so I got to get
that Cadillac. Eddie wanted it, and any motherfucker that was really close to us and shit, when we went out and we all put our jewelry on them, if the only way you knew was Eddie, because he had the EJ in his chest. Other than that, you couldn't tell who was there, because we all had a lot of jewelry.
No, he was a unique individual.
That's right.
In that way.
That's right.
You know, I spoke about it. I mean, shoot.
Yeah.
You know, he gave my old man $200,000 to buy a house,
so
then gave him another $200,000
to first. Let me ask you this. What? How well did you know Fairly?
Did you
come in the crew too late or what?
Oh, no, I know Fairly before she even got with Eddie. Because, you know, we all grew up together. C-Dell, Lil Jerry, Jap, all us, we all around the same age. You know, them all might be about a couple of years older than me. Now, her brother Jerry Riggs, you understand, me and him was real close, you understand? But Fairly, she was a sweetheart. I tell you one thing about her. She was stronger, more stronger than any nigga that's out here on the street. I'm talking about, you understand?
She could have sank all
y'all.
Man,
she could have, man, let me tell you
everything.
Something. And they did everything they could to make her turn. I'm talking about this girl, she had a habit out of this world. She had a habit. When they locked her ass up, they locked up at Rikers Island in New York.
Rikers Island. Mm-hmm.
They, you understand, she was sending letters to Eddie. All her letters would go to him. But when he would have Courtney sending different letters back to her, they wouldn't let them get to her. They trying to tell her, you see that guy ain't thinking about you. You might as well go on, you understand, turn him in and this and that and other. I mean, they did this shit for a long time until, you understand, Eddie got with Ross back and told him something ain't right. You understand? Go up there and find out, because I ain't getting no letters, no nothing. I mean, she ain't getting none of my letters, you understand? I've been writing. So he went up there and they took care of that shit. And that was the only way. That's right. Let me tell you something. He was a bad motherfucker. You know, him and the F.D. Bailey was partners. Mm. You know, and like I say,
did you come to find out, just on a little side note that y'all know.
Yeah, I met him. Uh-huh.
What was your opinion of him?
Oh, he was, you could tell he was in the military. I mean, he's just like, he was a colonel. I mean, a general.
If y'all know, don't know, just look at me a little strip. Rolf Black made his reputation as an incident in the Vietnam War. While you be talking about he's in a uniform, if you ever seen that movie Jag, Jag is what the Navy lawyers are.
Right, right,
when
right.
When you're a naval officer and you're a lawyer, you're in the Jag.
Right.
Right? It was called the My Lai Massacre. It was a bunch of high-ranking military people who was being charged with a massacre. They was all about to get court-martialed. Somebody been looking at the firing squad.
I've seen
the
story. It's, yeah.
It was legal history, book of law.
Right.
Ross Black represented them in the My Lai Massacre. Yeah. And once he won that case, his reputation, that was when you talk about when he walk into the courtroom, the judge say, how are you, Mr. Ross Black? How are you doing, Henry? How are you doing, Henry?
Yeah.
You know.
He walk in, that's who did.
I mean, he was famous. But you know, Effie Bailey,
that's why I used to
that was Ross Black partner. At that same time that y'all had Ross Black,
Patty Hearst, when Effie Bailey.
And Frank Matthews had Effie Bailey working on the case. How small the world is.
Yeah, it is, right. The best, let me tell you something. Number one, always gonna go to where the money at. That's right. But I want to say, about a couple of people that I don't want to forget to talk about them. Now, it was a lot of people that growed up in that neighborhood. Damn near every young guy down there in that neighborhood, man, ended up being hell of a hustler. Another one named Robert Lucas. I know you'd have heard of him, haven't you?
Okay, I have heard that name.
Leon, he had a brother named Leon. I mean, he had a brother named Leon, he was Robert.
John Lucas.
No, but them two his brother. They was getting big money, too. Well, because he had the Jeffrey Projects locked down before the young boys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then he had a storefront right there on Woodward. On the other side, Claremont, right where your mother was working at the nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This right down the street where Hollywood, I mean, Charles Holloway had a store right there on Woodward. It was right next door to him. I mean, this man, he had a sign on the door telling people where to go. First he started selling stuff out of the joint. And then he got so hot on Woodward, he had the address yesterday every day telling where people to go. Mm. He was riding around with his limousine every day. He was getting big money, man.
Mm.
Robert Lucas, he grew up here. Yeah, Robert Lucas. Mm. And he had a brother, Leon. Robert got killed a few years ago. It was on 48 Hours. He was making a deal over here on Hopper and McClellan. He was selling big weed then. And he was going to make a deal, and he ended up killing him.
Wow.
Yeah, Robert
Lucas. He was found in the trunk of the Cadillac.
Yeah. You remember that?
I seen the story. That's what that 48
was.
Hours.
That's who it was.
You had mentioned the guy, J.C. Rex.
J.C.
Rex. He was kin to somebody else.
To Paul Orr.
Paul, right.
They was brother-in-law.
Because.
Who's older and younger?
Between who?
J.C.
I think he was older than, you know. Both of them did, not.
Right. But I think J.C.
was older. He was
J.C. go all the way.
Courtney say, broke it open.
Broke it open for
nobody.
Yeah. Deal with y'all after the Busta raid. That's, you know the story the old man
tell. Yeah, he was running.
After the raid on Hubble,
and
people
then,
backed off.
And then
J.C.
got a. Got it going. Another guy by the name of Chip. And another guy they used to call Frankenstein. His name was Maurice. He stayed on Grassy.
Now, this ain't Maurice Downs.
No. Another Maurice that was getting keys. I mean, 3-4 keys every 2-3 days. And his woman was named Tish. You understand? Like, Rudolph was real close to him. You understand? But like I say, he was another guy that was really, you know, copper to him. Yeah.
Now, did you know Greg and Rose Nelson?
Did I know him? Shit, many shootouts that me and 5-0 had. We used to have shootouts down there about we was trying to steal each other customers.
Because, you know, it was Greg and Rose.
Right.
The reason how Fat Frank come in. Fat Frank started off working for Rose and Greg Nelson.
And he got his own place.
And then,
And Frank was.
They was Project Legends.
Oh, yeah.
They was Project.
All them was on the same
Nelsons
block.
The Nelsons moved a lot for your daddy.
A whole lot.
A lot for you.
A lot. Yeah, I mean, I was cool with our whole family, man. You understand? Their mama, she was real sweet, too. But I can't forget about T.D. That That's the Rock.
Top Dog.
Yeah.
And Pat Rob.
And Pat Rob.
I ran into them. Shout out to TD. Shout out to Pat Rob. I ran into Pat Rob maybe a year and a half ago.
You know, he's the one that got that pardon from Obama.
That's right.
He got
Pat Rob.
Pat Rob.
He's home. He home. Yeah. He doing well, looking good.
Yeah, he's home. Congratulations, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another thing, Milwaukee Jack and Treacherous, them was my guys. You understand? Like Pat Treacherous, he was known, man. He was he was pimping, a gambler. He was an all around hustler. And then he started selling drugs. And then, like I say, you understand? When I remember the first time me and Eddie served him some at the motel on Jefferson, the Click, the Shorecrest Motel.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where we used to meet him at.
Still open?
Oh yeah, it is. Right.
Yeah.
And Treacherous still living.
Is he?
Yeah, Milwaukee.
Shout out to Treacherous. Yeah.
Milwaukee, you understand, man. He was getting money, man. He was well known, man. Not just in Detroit, all over the United States.
I would second that because I listened at the Whispers album cover,
uh-huh.
and he's on the cover of their Christmas song.
Uh-huh.
Milwaukee Jack is on the cover. I'm wearing a little white.
Oh, he was a shop. He was one of the sharpest niggas you can see, man. And then, like I say, another guy I don't want to forget about, you understand? There's so many people that I can talk about, because, man, I lost a lot of my memory. And another guy, name was Pratt, Fat Pratt. He, you understand, he used to be one of the salesmen at the Cousin's Shoe Store.
Okay.
And by him being there, he met people from all over, you know, United States, because, you know,
niggas was
covered everywhere.
Yeah,
and he got a lot of connection shit, too. So he started, you know, he didn't know nothing about drugs. And he just looked up on the connection. And he know who it was because everybody buying the shoes now and then. And me and him got to be real close too. He ended up going to jail on Bush Jones' case.
On that young boy's case.
How he do that?
I don't know, just that. But anyway, you know, he was on his case with them. And Milwaukee, he was one of the first people to start selling.
To the young boys.
Yeah, Milwaukee, yeah, he was doing that, you know. And Pratt was serving a lot of people too. But and then Milwaukee,
his name was in the papers.
Yeah, it was.
That Pratt guy.
Yeah. When Cousin Shoe Store, when they went out of business, Big Butch, he ended up getting the shoe store right there on John R. and Cadillac Boulevard. A lot of people thought that was Milwaukee's show. Milwaukee ain't never had no shoe store. That was Big Butch show, Mia Store. Milwaukee would just be down there like that was like his office.
That was his office.
That's where you talk about where you, because you talk about you, man.
That's where Pops came home, that's where he was set up.
And see, Big Butch, yes, they had a brother named Watts Tucson. They used to do a lot of gambling. And see, when Big Butch had that shoe.
You'd have to know Wayne, who was working for them at the time, who wound up going to the City Slicker.
I talked to Wayne yesterday. Wayne called me all the time. I've been dealing with Wayne for about 40 years.
Detroit legend.
Wayne at Broadway.
Yeah. City Slicker. Another Detroit legend.
Big Butch, you understand? When he had that shoe store there, he had another one on Woodward in Holland Park. I forgot the name of it. He was selling the same kind of shoes the cousin them was shoe. He went had it on Woodward, right? And he, you understand, he started going off on that cocaine and stuff, you know, but before he got killed, you understand, you know, he ended up shooting.
What was behind him getting killed?
His brother's daughter, boyfriend, was jumping on her all the time, and Butch had a reputation, you know, so the guy was kind of scared of him. So Butch was going over there on Salem Second, and went on top. Poppy's business to go over there to get his niece. When he went in there, the nigga was waiting on him. And the nigga, you understand, shot him in the head and killed him.
Damn!
Yeah. That was YT's daughter.
Damn!
Oh, yeah. Like I said,
he thought Butch was coming to do
something
to him? Yeah, he was actually going just to get
his daughter. Yeah, he know, you understand, Butch wasn't coming over there just to talk to him or whatever, you understand. He was probably afraid, you know? Because Butch was getting money, too. Matter of fact, that's how I meant to connect with the guy I had in California. His name was EJ. You hear me talk about EJ before?
Uh-huh.
You know, he just died a few years ago in the federal penitentiary. He was a big guy there in California. He was serving all these niggas in Detroit back in the late 60s and 70s.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hey, Butch, did you, now Marzette, you, by the time you got done I know, obviously, you had heard about him. We're trying to get a hold of some of his people.
Oh, yeah. I know a couple of people, you understand. Matter of fact, I don't want to mention their name, but I know one of his women used to be with. Matter of fact, you understand, you stay across from you when y'all was kids on Cavalry and Woodward. You know what I mean? Right? Yeah. Yeah. Right. Matter of fact, watch y'all when y'all was a kid.
Oh, I know he told me.
Yeah. I know he told me.
She was one of Marzette's women.
I don't want to call her name, but
right.
I can sit around and take it. You still taking?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me tell you about the property. You wanted me to say about that?
Yeah.
I had a couple of hotels down in Brush Park area. Anybody that was known in that area, everybody know Dodo. Dodo owned more property down there than anybody. I'm talking about, he had the Fine Arts Theater. He had all them big buildings on John R., Atlee, Erskine. I'm talking about, he had all that property down there. He ended up getting killed. And like I say, I can only speak on the property that I had. I had one building, it was a 52 unit. And when I bought the building, it was in the 70s. I paid $14,000 for it. And it had 52 units. And I had another building, it was about 30 units. I didn't pay but 20 for that. Now, I know that they was coming through there, that all that property going to be, you understand, you know, valuable. If I still had that property right now, man, I would have, you understand, $3-4 million, probably more.
No problem.
Right. But
you cashed out with Dodo.
That's right. But I end up, you understand, getting indicted. You know how they do when they come.
You already know beans and all that.
Yeah. But like I said, the money that we was getting back then, you just say it's 10 times that much it is now.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm saying. The niggas getting $10,000 a day back then, it's just like $100,000 a day. But we was getting $100,000 every day.
Well, as they said on that Feds magazine cover, you know, basically you're talking about $1 million a day because $100,000 a day back then is the same as $1 million now.
And me and Eddie used to have so much fun. I'm talking about, just imagine, you riding around the city, you got the biggest cars that they have on the market. You got enough money to do what you want to do, when you want to do it. You can go anywhere in the world, which we did. Me and him be riding down the street. He said, "God damn, black boy, man, this got boys around this motherfucker." Yeah. He said, man, let's go London. Anyway, whatever you understand, matter of fact, we had a goddamn map. He said, "Man, just point at the map and say that's where we going." And that's the shit we was doing. And I'm talking about we did first class everywhere we went.
But tell us about how it was when you went to Rio and fell in love with
Rio de Janeiro. We went to every country in South America, from Rio de Janeiro all the way up to the Panama Canal. I'm talking about.
But when did you fall in love at?
In Rio. They got the finest pictures you ever seen in your life. Rio. I mean, all over South America.
Yeah, I mean, how you catch up to her?
I mean, like I say, shit. Anywhere you go, where you stand,
was she selling pussy? Was she put the type like of girl you pulled out? Hey. You know,
she was working in the restaurant.
She worked in the restaurant. Yeah. Go ahead and tell me.
Yeah, and like I say, you understand, shit, they feel like that was a catch. And like I say, you know, when they see money, when they see it, so like I say, you ain't
what's
got to say
tipper? What. Go ahead, what's your tipper?
I can't remember what was tipping, but it was way more than they was me probably making a month.
And then you told her, come on, let's go out tonight.
Yeah, me and Eddie, you understand, we had dates with them and all that, man. We did everything, we did our thing.
And I said,
I'm taking this motherfucker with me. He said, "You crazy motherfucker, what you think? You're going to have all of us put in jail." I stayed in contact with her for a while, but you know.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Did you ever go back and see her?
Not her. You understand? like I say, you know what? Things are so much different than it was then. Niggas now know they don't have no respect for one another. They let the money handle them instead of handling the money.
They don't share.
They don't share.
But I think the fact that y'all all really had grew up together had a lot to do
with it. That was a whole...
You know, y'all was a real... Yeah. Y'all had a real community.
But still...
And you know what, man?
A soldier is a soldier, man. When a nigga earning like J.C. Rex, he's supposed to be getting it, man. When he come in the crew and he get in the crew and he throwing, he's supposed to get it.
Everybody that was hooked up with us, man, it was gentlemen. All of them. I mean, we just was blessed to have the guys that was with us.
Y'all got lucky.
Right. And another person I want to speak of... Like I said, I can talk all day long. I'm going to say this in. This is going to be it for today. Stokes was a bad guy. I ain't saying bad person. He was, as far as the way he handled his business, the way he handled his after-hour joints, he got more respect than any joint in any city when it was him. Because the person, you know, when they came in Stokes' joint, a lot of people, you understand, feel like they had money. Well, you know, they can damn near go in any joint and get a goddamn doming. A tip or something, he didn't let you in and do anything. But now that Stokes joint. Come to Stokes joint and do some stupid shit like that. He gonna beat your ass right there in front of everybody in there. And I respect him for that, you know.
That's right.
You know,
he ain't gonna have that right. If he don't.
That's right. Yeah, he was the ladies' man too. And he didn't have no problem putting his hands on the police either. He done had a couple of incidents where he had to down their ass. Where they came in there to raid his joint. He was down.
He was on Shane, right?
On Shane and Ford.
He started
off over there on a cast in the cast corridor. Area. That's where he started off at. Then he ended up having the pool room over there on Finkel in Wyoming.
Let me ask you this. He never sold drugs, though.
No,
he only ran after hours.
So before he died, he was one of the biggest number men in the city.
So he ran numbers,
yeah.
Too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
I always tip my hat to the numbers.
And I gave him a little... I give him a respect too. He did a little pimping too. But Stokes was
after I was joining them, was about a broad there anyway, right?
That's the first joint where they started having a Superfly Ron. He the one started that. Having those dancers in the joints. Yeah.
The beginning of the strip club, yeah. Titty Bar.
And Superfly Ron was the money getting person too. He was starting hustling with Al Finch.
Oh, shit.
That's who he started hustling with.
He pulled himself on.
He started getting money. That's the one, you understand, when he raided his house. He had all them exotic animals and stuff, lions and shit. Superfly Ron, yeah. Wow, he just died a few years ago, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
All the soldiers leaving. Yeah. Man. And it's nice.
Ronald Holmes. He was another one. He used to be with us.
All these stories, man.
Ronald Holmes. And he was one. With those guys on the 30th, you know, around the 30th Street with a KG and all them, all they was doing them guys on that side.
Wow.
Yeah, like I say, that's just a true story.
There you go.
That's
so
it.
The list goes on.
Yeah.
A lot of history, man, in this town and the streets.
I'm just blessed.
Well, you live a unique, a hell of a unique life.
I think
life,
I'm blessed to still be here with the type of guys that I've been around and damn near deal with every guy. In the city of Detroit.
That was about something.
If I didn't know them, they know me.
There you go.
Now, real quick, though, before we get out of here, fellas, just a shout out to, let me get his name right, because Otis Stanley.
Otis Stanley. That was my man.
That was
Maxwell.
Man, where? Max, where Mad Max at?
Maxwell, me and him used to hustle together. He's dead now. Oh, you didn't know he was dead? Yeah, Maxwell, you understand, he started getting strung out on that boy and stuff. Maxwell, you understand, he started hustling with me, which I met him through G. And me and Maxwell started getting money, man. I turned Maxwell around at the time. That's when I had that 76 flip.
And that's the fella that later people would know the club that used to be Joey's that was popular and turned into the Nile.
That's G. Right.
Maxwell was hustling. He lived in Highland Park.
He stayed on Monterey. Yeah, Monterey
Road. He had a nice house in Highland Park.
That's when, right after the time Eddie went to jail, I had this 76 Fleetwood with all them mirrors. And she remember that one? Finger raspberry? Right. So, me and Maxwell hooked up, and I showed him how to do this and do that. And we started getting money. Because, matter of fact, at the time, I didn't know. He was copping from Doc Davis and them, brother.
You lying.
Yeah.
That's he was getting it from Doc Davis.
Yeah, yeah. From his brother Dwayne. Yeah, because Doc always stayed.
He was in California.
Back. I mean, he always.
Dwayne was more out in the front.
Yeah, right.
And Doc was
right,
more in the back.
They was getting money, like I said.
I mean, we know they was getting the fortune.
They was getting money.
The one you were more likely meet and get the action from would be
you
Dwayne.
Wouldn't see Doc.
You would never see Doc. No. He was the man in the background.
I didn't respect.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
And he's very smart, too. Very smart.
He was a brand.
And me and him real cool, too.
That's right.
And like getting back to Maxwell. Maxwell wanted him one of those pimp cars like the one we had. So I took him out there to Steve Hopper. I bought him a Lincoln. And I had to put him a top on the back with the diamond in the back and all
everything.
Yeah, he had a blue and gray Lincoln Continental. And like I say, I was just missing his name, man. Me and he was getting big money together too.
Yeah, I remember Maxwell. Yeah, Maxwell. He was crazy. Yeah. He fit right in with them. He was that type. Yeah.
Yeah.
The fat man get to give you up.
Shit. Let me tell you something, Eddie.
Say fuck Eddie, that. 60,000. Goddamn it, I move 100,000.
Let me tell you something, Matt. Eddie would talk a motherfucker out of window with no ladder. And that's no bullshit. And you know what? This motherfucker here is just like his daddy. You know, if he closes his eyes, you think that's Eddie. He's just like his daddy. But he got a long way. His daddy, he had the baddest daddy.
I ain't trying to catch it.
I know you can't catch it.
You can't catch that act, which I had to learn that.
But like I said,
you told me.
You like
don't
this
try
guy?
To do that. Don't try to do that.
Hey, Courtney Jr. and Eddie, hey, I brought all of them up in the stand. I'm talking about these to be glad to see my ass when I come out there.
We're going to Big Boy.
Yeah. That's what I told you this morning.
Somebody asked me how long I know Butch. I said, I can't remember not knowing Butch.
They want daddy and they got to take me to Big Boys for y'all.
That's right. That's right.
And Joe Weaver, he was the one
and Joe Weaver
always had that job.
And the Lord, had his arm around him. That's
Joe still around, man.
I don't know, man.
I hope you are still out there, Joe. Yeah. Never could forget you, Joe.
And your brother Reggie.
Would love to hear from
and
you.
And I'll never forget his ass.
Joe was just
he damn near put my ass in jail on the first line of phone. Remember that? Putting all the goddamn phones.
All the phones up there.
I had about $2 million of drugs in the car. Yeah. And this motherfucker is stopping at every rest stop putting his calling card.
Joe had sense now after the show ended for Joe.
Yeah.
He went and got with Bigfoot Eddie Wingate. Yeah. You understand? Out there at the hotel in
Mona Lisa. Yeah.
At the Mona Lisa.
Yep.
That's the last time I ever seen.
But I'm gonna say this here. I'm gonna close this here. We got a lot of stories to come with. You understand?
Yeah.
I'm talking about we got stories to come, and it's the truth. It ain't no motherfucker.
Next time we do it, we're gonna memorialize Huckabuck.
Okay, yeah.
We got some things about Huckabuck. We gotta tell some about Huckabuck.
Yeah, Huckabuck was a hell of a guy too.
Huck was something else. Yeah, he moved to Texas, came back.
Mm-hmm.
Huck was one that I can't forget.
Yeah,
Huck is the first one I ever rode in Huckabuck. When the fat man got out of jail,
let me see when I find it.
Buck was there.
Yeah, I find this,
Junior showed me a picture of Huckabuck. I couldn't even believe that was Huckabuck.
I think I said it, didn't I send it to you?
Yeah, I couldn't even believe that was Huckabuck. Man, I seen it. That's Huckabuck.
Okay.
Young pretty boy.
Yeah.
When he get like he was, but funky. Shit. He wasn't funky. Huck was stylish.
Me and your daddy, we was on Amsterdam. We on that bridge in Amsterdam.
Goddamn.
And we, you know what y'all know me about?
What?
He didn't gave the money to the motherfucker to buy some cocaine and he beat us.
You let us get beat.
I never knew. He was all that you like, boy, you black motherfucker. You let this motherfucker get away. I said, nigga, you the one gave it to me. Me and that man just do some hell of a shit,
man.
Oh,
man.
All right, man.
So you want to get
that's a good shot of him, but you need your little shirt and pants like that.
Huh? Eddie, let me close this out. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got an opportunity, some unique, two hell of a figures in the city. Thank you again, Uncle Butch, Tommy Sharp, a.k.a. Black Butch, the Black Dispatch, you know, just the whole library of the history of this city when it comes to the streets. Always thanks and shout out to my brother, Eddie Jackson Jr. If you ain't checked out True Street Crimes on YouTube, do. He's got some unique, you know, again, being the son of the fat man and his 30-year career on his own, being in the streets and all of it. Check out Real True Street Crimes. Since we got in the audience here, don't forget Jelani's Tasting Table. You can check him out online. Hot young chef out here in the Midwest doing his thing.
Eat dinner with us on Sunday.
420.
Jelani's Tasting Table on Sunday afternoon. We post Eat Sunday Dinner with us. Them caramel chicken wings and them fish taco with that lime sour cream will knock you out. So check us out Sunday. Look for our post and eat Sunday dinner with us. Jelani's Tasting Table.
So y'all make sure y'all do that. As you see, we keeping it going here, the family. So it is all good. Some of this will be the first original content on the Motown Mafia podcast. So we getting our game together. We got Scott coming back. We're going to try to, Brother Eddie's still in town.
Unk still. I can't listen.
Go ahead.
We got a dynamite attorney now, Brittany Simmons.
You hear that? Brittany Simmons. Attorney Brittany check Simmons.
Out, check out Brittany Simmons, a dynamite attorney, and one more attorney. One more. We got Clarence and Matt Loud. They got a loud delivery business. Look them up online and check them out.
Say that one more time.
Loud Delivery. Clarence and Matt Calf. Look them up online, and we got Brittany Simmons, attorney at law. If you need some help, check her out, and she shall help you out. Check her out, she'll help you out. Thank you to all. Peace and love.
Peace and love. And last little comment, thank you to our new sponsors. That is Bags and Bundles, premier hair shop located on West 7 Mile. That's 16311 West 7 Mile. We thank you for your support, Bags and Bundles. So, good take. Appreciate you guys. It's your man, CB Jr. We're out of here. Motown Mafia Podcast. It is now happening. Peace.